program was transcribed from an earlier network broadcast.
What's the name?
John Hancock.
What's the program?
Point Sublime.
Point Sublime. Presented by the John Hancock Mutual Life Insurance Company. Starring Cliff Arquette and Mel Blanc, Point Sublime is written and produced by Robert L. Redd. Point Sublime. Suggest you stay tuned to the end of this program when you will learn how you may get a free copy of our beautiful book of Christmas carols. Now, meet your John Hancock agent.
Friends, I know a fellow who carries an umbrella every day, rain or shine. Now, maybe that's carrying caution just a bit too far, but what about the emergency your family might have to face if, by any chance, your support should be withdrawn? Well, making sure in advance that your loved ones will be able to get along without hardship is one of the jobs a sound life insurance program can do. Out of its 85 years of practical experience, the John Hancock Mutual Life Insurance Company has developed a simple readjustment plan that costs you little and yet gives you complete assurance that your family's future is secure. And it's a plan that's well within your means, as your local John Hancock agent will be glad to explain. You will find that his life insurance recommendations are specially fitted to your needs and your income. Just say the word and your friendly John Hancock agent will supply full information.
Now for the human story of a fellow named Ben Willett. It is an early December evening in Point Sublime, Evelyn Hanover's cottage. Right now, Ben and Evie are sitting on the davenport in front of the fireplace in a softly lighted room and are leafing through a little Christmas gift catalog Ben brought with him.
Now, look at this page, Evie. How'd you like a solid gold fountain pen set?
Oh, please, Ben, that would be too expensive.
You know, I've been trying for 2 weeks to get you to say what you'd like for Christmas this year.
I was up in the attic this afternoon. I came across a box of things I put away.
Yeah, sure. Now, help me, Evie. You bake wonderful cakes. How'd you like me to give you a mix master all wrapped up with cellophane and red ribbons?
There were some letters in the box.
Or I could get you a pretty diamond ring.
Oh, thank you, no, Ben. Do you remember the first letter you wrote me almost 7 years ago?
Well, not exactly.
I'll keep it always. You said quite a few interesting things in that letter.
Oh, me, I always was a blabbermouth. What did I say in the letter?
That you liked me the very first day we met.
Oh, is that it? Yeah, I remember now. I wrote you and I said I thought you had the prettiest blue eyes of any lady I ever met.
Oh. Except one.
Except one?
Yes, and you didn't say. Who was she then?
Now let's look on this interesting page in the Christmas catalog. Watches. How'd you like a watch, baby? Nice grueling watch. See here? Grueling watch time. Click, clack.
Who was she then? Was she pretty?
Hey, I'll get you another cup of coffee.
You sit right back down here, Ben Willett.
Yeah, well, now don't ask questions.
You spoke very nicely of her in your letter.
She got married.
Were you in love with her?
Well, maybe. Well, it was a long time ago, 13, 14 years ago.
Did she live here in Point Sublime?
Still does.
Oh, I suppose I really shouldn't ask, but who is she then?
Oh, I'll tell you if you want to know. She was...
Oh, laws. Now, who'd be coming here tonight?
Want me to answer it?
No, I'll get it.
Well, I hope it isn't Hattie Hirsch.
Miss Hanover.
Oh,
come in here.
Yes, sure. I got Doc Lockhart with me.
May I come in, Miss Hanover?
Yes, come in, Doctor.
Hey, what's going on, Doc?
Well, I just met Doc up at the corner, and he was going somewhere to phone somebody. I said you were here.
May I use your phone, Miss Hanover?
Yeah, right there on the coffee table.
Thank you. I want to call the county hospital. It's Vernon.
Gee, what's going on, Doc?
Well, I was just over to see the little Grafton boy.
Ted?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with him?
Ted Grafton has contracted an extremely severe and a decidedly rare type of typhoid fever.
Oh, no.
Say, can I go out in the kitchen, Miss Hanover, and make a sandwich or something for Doc Lockhart? He hasn't had
Oh,
something.
I'm all right. I'm all right. I better make this call. Hello.
You'll find some baked ham in the refrigerator, Mooney. Fresh milk.
Yes, ma'am.
Operator, this is Dr. Lockhart. A long-distance call. Connect me with the county hospital at Vernon.
You say, how'd Tad Graff never catch typhoid? We got the purest water in the county.
Hello, county. Dr. Lockhart in Point Sublime. Is Dr. Hudson there? Oh, fine, fine. Connect me with the laboratory at once.
You say it's a rare type of typhoid? I didn't know that.
Hello, John? Albert Lockhart. Yes. Say, John, I've just run into a rare typhoid case. Yes, that's it. But I'm positive, John. I've made all the tests. Yes, I know. And this is only the second case I've had in all my years of practice.
Hey, where's the butter, Miss Hanover?
Oh, quiet, Mooney.
It's all very true, John, but...
The butter dish is in the cupboard.
Yeah, oh, okay, I'll find it.
Well, I want to give the lad a transfusion the minute I can locate the right blood type donor. You check the county hospital files right away, will you? See if there's a record of this form of typhoid within the last year. Yes, call me back right away, will you? Oh, Miss Hanover, what's your number here?
214.
John, call me at Point Sublime, 214. Yes, I'll wait. Goodbye.
Hey, sounds pretty serious, Doc.
If Ted Grafton's going to live, I've got to find somebody who had a similar attack within the last year.
Oh, dear. Ted's such a nice kid. Wish I could do something.
Who doesn't?
Just how does this particular kind of typhoid affect a person?
It affects the bones. Even if the Grafton boy does pull through, he may be a cripple unless we find a donor to give him a transfusion.
Well, good grief, what are we waiting for? I'll give the kid all the transfusions he needs.
You don't understand,
Ben. It come from someone who's had the disease recently. But to complicate matters, the donor must be the same blood type as Tad, of course.
Well, what do we do?
Wait for the hospital to call.
Here, Doc, a ham sandwich and a glass of milk. I hope you like mayonnaise. I put a lot on.
Thanks, Mooney. Thanks. You see, the Graftons didn't call me as soon as they should have.
Well, Dave Grafton's always putting off. Now his boy's real sick.
Oh, my, that startled me. Jumped and knocked the glass of milk over.
Hello? Yes, Dr. Lockhart. Well, put him on.
Yeah, I'll wipe it up with my handkerchief.
Hello, John. Did you find anything? Yeah? What's his name? Where does he live? Chris Popino, huh?
Oh, no.
How can I locate the man?
Yeah, I know where he lives, Doc.
Wait a minute, John. You know him, Ben?
Yeah, I know Chris Popino. But in this case, I mean, since it's Dave Grafton's boy, Chris Popino won't do you any good.
Oh, heavens, why not?
Never mind. Say, Ben Willett knows the man. I'll locate him at once. Thanks, John. Goodbye. Well, this sort of luck doesn't happen once in a blue moon. Hey, you'll have to take me to see this Chris Popino at once, Ben.
No use, I said.
What do you mean?
The man will certainly give a transfusion to save a boy's life.
He might for anybody but a Grafton.
Well, why not a Grafton?
Because Chris Popino's been holding a grudge against Dave Grafton for, about the last 15 years. This is probably the sort of thing Chris has been waiting for.
Ben, get your coat and hat.
What for, Doc?
You're taking me to see Popino.
It's no use, I tell you.
Where does he live?
Oh, about 20 miles back up in the Coast Mountains. Dirt road most of the way. I never been there.
Here's your Mackinaw, Ben. I'll hold it for
you. Thanks, Evie. Chris has been living back in the hills by himself for years. Ever since, the time 14 years ago, David Grafton came along and stole Chris's bride-to-be right out from under his nose.
Gracious. How does he live?
Oh, Chris is a tanner.
Tanner?
Yeah, he makes a couple of trips a year out to Mountain Island, about 30 miles offshore here, to hunt antelope and wild goat.
I don't care what he does. Come on, let's go, Ben.
Well...
Hey, you be careful when you get up there, Mr. Willis.
Now, don't worry, Mooney.
Hey, you want me to go? I could help out if there's a fight or something.
No, Mooney.
Come on, Ben, come on. Thanks for the use of your phone, Mr.
Yes, Doctor.
Well, I'm sorry, Evie, you didn't get your Christmas present picked out.
Ben, do please be careful.
Don't worry about Ben, Miss Hanover. When we get up there, I'll do the talking to Mr. Popino. I have no use for that kind of a man. Well, good night.
Good night.
This must be the turnoff into his place.
Well, turn. That must be his house right there.
Yeah, I see the light now. Doc, I still think I better go in and try to talk to Chris myself.
No, I'll handle him with pleasure.
I'll stop the car here. You see, Doc, Chris and I used to be mighty good friends when we was young fellas, and Maybe I could explain things to him better.
You wait here in the car. I'll talk to him. And I'm not going to take any foolishness. He has an obligation to society.
Now, if you iron out in 10 minutes, I'll come see you.
Give me an hour. But don't worry, I'll handle this all right.
Well, I hope so, Doc. Now, I'll wait.
Are you Chris Popino?
Yeah, what do you want?
I'm Dr. Lockhart from Down Point Supply.
I'm not sick. I don't want any doctors. Go away.
No, you don't close this door in my face. I drove all the way up here to talk to you, and I'm going to do it. Now, come on, open up.
I don't bother anybody. Why do you bother me?
Not very hospitable, are you, Mr. Popino? Well, it's cold outside. I'll just close this door. Hey, what's that odor I smell in here? It's terrible.
I like it.
Oh, I see. Comes from those large wooden tubs over there, huh?
Yeah. Tannic acid, sumac.
Used for what?
To tan animal hides. Well, the question.
Animal hides, huh? Or the ones you shoot out on Mountain Island?
How do you know so much about me?
I know many things about you, Mr. Popino.
What do you want? You want a doctor?
Well, can't you see this medical bag I have in my hand here?
Oh.
Say, did you have typhoid fever the early part of last year?
Nearly died of it.
Well, do you know what kind it was?
Typhoid's all I know.
Did it leave any after effects?
Well, can't you see this right arm of mine?
Oh. Can you straighten it out?
No. Feels like the bones in the elbow grew solid.
Mr. Popino, I want you to save a boy's life.
Me?
There's a boy down in Point Sublime who may die unless you give him a blood transfusion.
Well, why me?
Well, it's hard to explain, but take my word for it. It has to come from someone who recently also suffered that particular kind of typhoid, and you're the man.
Kid's gonna die, huh?
Probably. How about it?
Yeah. When do we do it?
Tonight. I have a car waiting outside.
I'm a fool, but all right.
Oh, one thing first. I have my kit with me here. I have to make a blood test to determine its type. Won't hurt
anything. Nothing hurts me anymore. Now, what do?
Just roll up your sleeve. I'll set my bag here on the table by the lamp. Get a few things out. There.
I don't know why I do this. There's my arm.
Well, sit down on this chair by me.
Yeah.
Get a glass slide. A little alcohol and a piece of cotton. Hypodermic needle. Now, let's have your arm.
There you are.
That's it. Now tie this rubber band around your arm. There. Now, as we say in my profession, this won't hurt you a bit.
Yeah, sure.
Hold still.
Yeah.
Good, Mr. Popino. As nearly as I can tell, you're the exact blood type.
Mm.
We'll save that boy yet.
Yeah. Hey, I was just thinking of something. Who's the boy?
What's the difference? He's sick.
Who's the kid, I'm asking?
You'll come anyway, Popino.
Yeah, I thought so. It's Dave Grafton's kid, isn't it?
Yes. Go on, get your coat.
Oh, no, you don't. I nearly want to give my blood to save a graft.
Popino, you're coming with me.
You don't understand this one, Doc, and I'm not going. I've been waiting for something like this for 14 years. Now it's better than I could have planned. I'm staying right here.
Pull down your sleeve. Get your coat, I said.
I've been waiting all this time, and now all I have to do is sit here in my own little shack and let it happen.
Come on, Popino.
Get out, Doctor. Get out before I throw you out.
All right. I'll go, but I'll be back later tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I'll go to town. But I'll be back with enough help to persuade you to save Ted Grafton from dying.
Get out. Get out!
In a moment, we'll bring you part two of Point Sublime. But right now, we want you to hear from Webb Tyler, the John Hancock agent in Point Sublime. Webb?
You know, folks, it often does us a lot of good to talk about certain things we've had on our minds. And sometimes, talking to a friend, you'll find that he's been thinking along much the same lines. You suddenly realize that you can be guided by his experiences. For example, let's say that you, like any head of a family, want to be reasonably sure that your loved ones will be able to get along comfortably, especially if something should happen to you. Now, you'll find there's a man in your community who will take a real friendly interest in this problem. Your John Hancock agent. Behind him, you know, stands the sound experience of a life insurance company that's 85 years old and is serving 8 million policyholders. Your John Hancock agent is ready to put that wide experience to work in helping you. It reveals, among other things, that without your support, your loved ones would most likely need at least as much as your annual earnings to tide them over the first difficult year or so. And you may be surprised when you learn how little it will cost to provide such a fund, and when you consider what a big difference this simple plan may make in your family's future. So have a talk with your friendly John Hancock agent soon. Let him help you plan a safe, secure tomorrow for those you love.
Now, part two of Point Sublime. It is almost 7 o'clock the next morning. For the last several hours, a shrill, cold wind has blown in from the ocean to bite viciously at the little town. Ben Willett and August Moon are in the store drinking hot coffee they have just brewed on the electric plate back of the counter.
Any more cream, Mr. Willett?
No, thanks, Mooney. Gee, I wish I'd hear from Doc Lockhart.
You're sure he's over with a little grafting kid?
I guess so. Oh, good heavens, look coming down the sidewalk. Evelyn Hanover.
Yeah, she can hardly make it against the wind.
What's she doing out at this morning hour? Evelyn, come in here.
Oh, I thought I wasn't going to make it. Almost a gale. You should see the ocean. Oh, I've been frantic all night, Ben. Why didn't you telephone me when you got back?
Well, it was so late, I thought you'd be asleep.
Well, you've been back 2 hours or more.
Yeah, just about.
I hear there's some ugly talk starting around town.
Yeah, there was a couple of men here a while ago. I wouldn't let them in.
I hear that Pompano man wouldn't help.
Well, bad news travels fast. Well, Doc was kind of headstrong. He wouldn't let me go talk with Chris. Now the town's boiling mad at Chris.
Yeah, he's no good.
Mooney.
Well,
Chris isn't a bad man. I knew him well. He's just been living alone and brooding. He's mixed up or he wouldn't have refused to help the Grafton boy.
He really did then?
Yeah. Practically kicked Doc out of the cabin. Now certain bean brains around town threatened to tar and feather Chris if they could lay hands on him.
Oh, no.
After the news got around, 3 carloads of men drove up to Chris's place about 4 a.m.
They were going to bring him down and make him give the transfusion?
Yeah, only Chris was gone.
Where to?
Who knows? Probably left right after Doc and I was there.
Hey, he probably drove down to Sandy Man Cove, where he keeps his old tugboat, and went out to Mountain Island to hunt goats.
Well, I've never... Hey, Mooney, maybe that's where Chris did go.
That's what I just said.
Oh, no, he couldn't. No small boat could keep afloat in this gale.
Well, he might have made it before the wind got so high. Oh, dear, I wish I could talk to Chris now. Talk a little sense into his head. Men around town are going to do something to him if Tad Grafton dies. I think maybe I should...
No, Ben, you can't.
How'd you know what I was thinking?
You can't go out to Mountain Island to look for him. Why, he might not have gone there at all.
Yeah, well, maybe not. Nobody'd be fool enough to take a boat out to sea in a storm.
Ben, who's this man running toward the store?
Good grief, it's Dave Grafton. Heard he was about out of his head.
Poor fellow.
I never waste much love on Dave. Keep quiet, he's coming in.
Hey, he looks frantic.
I want to buy some rope, Ben. Some strong rope. Well, don't stand there. Where is it?
Just a minute, Dave. What do you got in mind?
This is a store where you sell things to people. I want to buy about 25 feet of good, strong rope. Will you keep it?
Yeah, I'm all out of rope,
You're
Dave.
You're lying. You know what I want it for. You're trying to protect Chris Pompano. Where's your rope?
Now, get this straight, Davey. I'm all out of rope. How's Tad?
Tad?
Is Doc Lockhart still over the house? How's the kid?
I don't know. Doc doesn't say. Bell keeps blubbering around and praying this... I tell you, my boy's going to die. Maybe today or tonight or tomorrow, but Tad will die. I know he will.
And when he does, I say Chris Popano the same as murdered him.
Now, cut it out.
You hold some of the rope, and I'll get it somewhere else.
Dave, come back here.
We know where Popano went. His boat's gone. When the storm quiets down, a bunch of us are going out to the island and get him. That's where he went to hide.
Dave, cut out that kind of talk. Now, go on home
and
be with your boy. Davey!
Oh, that poor man.
No, Dave Grafton's no good. He never was.
Maybe not, but...
Hey, you see, I was right. Hey, Chris went out to the island.
Yeah, Mooney. You see, Abby, it only takes one man's crazy talk at a time like this to stir up a bunch of strong-armed, weak-brained troublemakers.
It's beginning to sound very serious, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, me. Poor Belle.
Belle? Who's Belle?
Belle Grafton. That's Dave's wife.
Oh, yes. I heard you mention her.
Said she was praying for Tad.
I just can't stand to see a wonderful, marvelous woman like Belle have this kind of trouble come down on her. Well, I gotta get on my way.
Ben!
Mooney, go in the back store and get my old oil slicker and hat and my big hip boots. They're hanging on the north wall.
Yes, Mr. Willard. Babe, I don't think you...
Do what I ask you now, Mooney.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Ben, please, don't try to go out to that island.
If I can find him, I think Chris will listen to me. We used to be pals.
But Ben, if something should happen to you...
There's still time for Chris to help Tad Grafton. Tad lives, and men won't harm Chris. Yeah, it's pretty plain. It's me who's got to go.
Here's your slipper, Mr. Willard.
Oh.
And your boots.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let me go with you.
No, Mooney. I'll go alone. Here, hold the coat for me.
Yes, sir. I wish you wouldn't go.
Oh, Ben. Ben, my darling.
Her, Ben, they step in my shack and talk. Step in.
Well, thanks, Leaf. Look, Leaf, I came down here to the wharf to see you because you got the only boat strong enough to make the trip out to Mountain Island in a storm like this.
Why, sure, the Mohammed is good boat. See, he'll go anywhere. See?
Yeah, I know, Leaf. But are you sure the Mohammed can make the trip in this weather?
Easy as pie, Ben.
Leaf, you got more nerve and you got good sense.
Yeah, when do we go to island?
Right now. No time to waste. The Mohammed's got to go to Mountain Island, but fast. Cabin you got here on the island, Chris.
How did you find it?
Oh, I've been walking around this island for almost 2 hours.
What did you come for, Ben?
See you, Chris.
You can't talk me into anything.
We're not gonna try. Why? What you mean, Chris?
You came out here to get me to go back and give that Grafton boy a blood transfusion.
Matter of fact, Chris, I guess I did.
Well, I'm not going.
Well, now, what do you think of that?
What are you looking at out the window?
Built your cabin right where you could always have a good look at it when you came out here, huh, Chris?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I was just looking down there at the beach. Picnic Rock.
I never look at it anymore.
Well, maybe you ought to. Have yourself some mighty nice recollections. Picnic Rock. Well, sir, what do you know? Guess I'd almost forgotten about it.
Don't talk, Benny. Don't talk.
Well, we as young fellas, Chris, sure used to do a lot of crazy things, didn't we?
I suppose.
Like when we'd load the girls in that little 2x4 boat I used to own and come over here to the island for outings.
I put all that out of my mind a long time ago.
Gee, old Picnic Rock. Remember, Belle gave it that name.
Don't mention her.
No, gosh. Remember, sometimes Belle would be your partner and sometimes she'd be mine.
Ben, don't mention her name. Don't mention her name.
Still think about her, don't you, Chris? Even after all these 14 years.
Well, what if I do?
Chris, Belle made a mistake when she up and married Dave Grafton. Everybody knows that. I guess Belle most of all. But the boy came along after the first year, and Belle stuck it out with Dave on account of Tad. Don't you think so?
Well, that's what I've always told myself.
You know, Dave Grafton was kind of good looking in those days. Just came along and swept Belle off of her feet.
It was all set. Belle and I were going to be married in June.
Yeah.
I hate Dave Grafton.
Well, I never thought much of him myself, Chris.
And now I'm getting even with him.
Yeah.
Letting his boy die.
No, don't put it that way.
Facts are facts. You could save the kid.
No.
Chris, that's the way it is.
No, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is, Chris. It's kind of secondhand murder you're committing.
No.
Right now, this very minute.
Betting I'll go crazy if you keep talking this way.
Chris.
Yeah?
That sick boy belongs to Belle, too. She had him.
Yeah, I know.
Now, if you take a look down there, you can see Leif Anderson's boot bobbing around like a cork on the wave.
I saw it.
I'm leaving now, Chris. There's room on Leif's boat for another passenger.
No.
Well?
No, I won't go back.
I was just thinking, once there was a time in your life when you'd have done as much for Belle.
She was beautiful.
Yeah.
And she... All right, Ben, I will.
Oh, that's it, Chris. I knew you'd want to make it a little easier for Belle. She's put up with enough from Dave Graffin for 14 years. We gotta save her what little trouble we can.
Hurry, Ben, hurry. I hope in God's name Leif's boat can get me back in time.
Well, Miss Hanover, I must be running along now. I just dropped into your cottage to find out how much I owed you for those phone calls last night.
I won't take a cent of it.
Well, the next time you get the sniffles, call me and I'll send you some pills. Well, I'll be on my way up to Vernon to see my hospital patients.
But, Doc, you sure you can leave town? I mean, is Tad Grafton out of danger?
Oh, absolutely. It's 8 hours since Popolo gave the transfusion, and Tad's temperature has gone down 5 degrees.
Tad will be all right then?
Yes, he's going to be all right.
Oh, good.
Oh, and Ben, the next time I run across a bull-headed fellow like Chris Popolo, I'll take your advice. I'll let you do the talking.
Now, Doc, you're so tired you're talking silly.
Well, goodbye, Miss Hanover.
Goodbye, Doc.
Take it easy, Ben.
Yeah, I see you.
See you around
time. Oh, Ben, Dr. Lockhart's a fine man. And a good doctor.
Oh, yeah, Doc's well. Kids in town love him, too. He's the kind of a doctor that when he looks down a little kid's throat, uses a lollipop for a tongue depressor.
You're kind of all right, too, Ben.
Think so, baby?
Now, Ben, you're tired, too. Stretch out on the davenport there. Put your feet up. Be comfortable.
Well, I think I'll live as long as you suggested.
Yeah. Oh, gee, this is wonderful.
Sit down beside me here, Evie.
Well?
Let me hold your hand.
No.
Please, let me hold it.
No, I said. Ben.
Evie, what do you want old Benny to give you this Christmas?
Ben?
Yeah? Gee, the fireplace is nice.
When you were younger, I'll bet you were a gay blade.
No, I was. I was real sharp. What are you getting at, Evie?
You remember that first letter you wrote me? The one I told you about last night?
Oh, yeah, letter.
The girl you mentioned in it. The only lady you ever cared for before I moved to town.
Yeah, what do you want for Christmas, baby?
During those last hectic 24 hours, who were you the most concerned about?
Concerned about? Well, the sick kid, Tad Grafton, of course.
Ben.
Yeah?
Take my hand.
Sure. Gee, you got such a nice soft hand, honey.
Now, tell me the truth.
Evie, you got some kind of womanly intuition.
Am I right? You really like her?
Oh, now, Evie, can I help it if I used to be in love with Belle? That is before Chris Popolo stole her affections from me.
Chris did?
Yeah, and that was before charming Dave Graffin came along, took away from both of us and married her.
Oh, Ben. You sweet, darling, wonderful old faker.
Faker? Yeah, faker. Evie, don't leave me. Keep holding my hand.
Hey, Ben.
Ain't I the one?
Friends, let the beauty of Christmas carols enrich your holidays. As a season's greeting to all Point Sublime listeners, the John Hancock Mutual Life Insurance Company offers you a free booklet containing many favorite Christmas carols, both words and music, together with a story of Christmas carols since olden times. To get this attractive illustrated free booklet, simply address a postcard or letter to Point Sublime, Hollywood, California. Write your name and address clearly, ask for the booklet of Christmas carols, and you will receive it absolutely free of charge. Yes, that's all you need to do. Simply address your postcard or letter to Point Sublime, Hollywood, California, for your free copy of the booklet of Christmas carols. Why not send for this booklet now while it's on your mind? This is Art Gilmore saying, next Monday night at this same time, tune in again to Point Sublime. And don't forget to send for your free booklet of Christmas carols. Good night. This program was transcribed from its earlier network release. Listen again next week, same time, same station, for Point Sublime. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.